Ready, down, hut, 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 hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Don't mind me just watching Bijan Robinson tackle Rainbow Road here on ATL Cart. That Falcons release video is pretty good. Let's get Jason Wilde's opinion on the Green Bay Packers schedule and their release. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. Is someone going to explain to me their release video? Because clearly I'm too old to get it.
I didn't get it either.
The Packers release video?
The dream sequence?
Yeah.
I don't think that can be explained.
Well, not, certainly not without assistance.
I wasn't sure if I was missing a horror movie reference or something.
I mean, there's a couple
there. Right.
So that's not like a parody. Like, remember a couple years ago, the Bears did one of that show on FX where the guy owns the restaurant? Is that called The Bear?
The Bear.
Yeah. I got that reference. I never watched the show, but I knew about it. I understood it. Whatever that was yesterday, I just assumed that I'm not cool enough or aware enough to have understood it. You're telling me that that was not a send-up of something that's popular that I'm just not cool enough to know about?
Not that I'm aware of, Jason. Not that I'm aware of.
But
I feel better.
If any of our loyal listeners did understand the Green Bay Packers schedule release video, please, by all means, give us a call, 800-990-3776, or jump in the YouTube stream or jump on the Carbless Talk and Text line. I would love some clarity as to whatever the hell it was I watched last night. Jason, your reaction to the schedule, what was the first thing that jumped out to you?
We're going to find out if they're contenders or pretenders pretty damn quick. Right? I mean, those first two games, you know, again, I try to avoid hyperbole, but I'm not sure I remember a schedule that had two games in 5 days to start the season. I think maybe they did this in 2018 as well, where they played and then they had a Thursday night game thereafter. I'll have to check my records. But two teams that were the two of the best teams in their conference, two teams that each went to the NFC Championship game the last 2 years, and you got them at home, and Gabe and Strofe and I were talking about this last night. You know, Mike McCarthy would tell me I have a polluted mindset for saying this, but you don't win those games. You only have six home games left on the schedule with 15 games left in the year. So they better get the job done. You know, I used Goody's line about urgency as the jumping off point for my story on Channel 3000. I mean, you want urgency, they better have it right out of the chute.
I mean, really the first four, Jason. I mean, what's acceptable coming out of that? I mean, 3-1 would be best.
Well,
right?
Chewy, I mean, you could go one game at a time.
Yeah, but we, you know how we used to break it up, Jason, into four quarters.
Yep.
You know,
that's you guys all lied about going one game at a time.
That's true. Well, we all thought we were going 16-0.
That's all, and I thought maybe you would back in 1997 until we went to Indianapolis.
Yeah,
I believe that.
We got our guy to go. We scored 38 points.
That's true. And you made Lindy and Fonny and Tony Mandridge very happy that day. 3-1 would be great, right? And I'm assuming, and we know that's dangerous, but like, you know, the Browns are going to take a while to figure out what the heck they are.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, like maybe playing the Lions in the opener is a good thing, right? I mean, they've got a bunch of talent. We know that. They've won a bunch of games the last 2 years. We know that. They're like 7-1 against the Packers in the last 8 games, but they do have the 2 new coordinators. They lost Ben Johnson. They lost Aaron Glenn. So maybe they're kind of, you know, finding their footing early in the season still, and maybe that's a good time to get them, especially at home. But I don't know. You know, we do this exercise, and I know this is how you guys frame the link on X. You know, what's the Packers' record going to be? I'm struggling to actually decide what I want to pick them to go. Am I the only one with that?
No.
I just don't. I don't know what to think.
Well, I feel like I had a better feel for this team last year. And maybe that's because they were playing
totally
AFC South, and you knew that they were going to have some easier games, and they went undefeated against the AFC South. But, Jason, I mean, obviously they have to be better than 1-5 in the division this year if they want to win as many games last year, just because
the
teams that they're playing. And 5 of those games come in the last 7 weeks. So it's a tough start to the season, as you mentioned, but also some really important ones in the last 2 months of the season.
Yeah, no doubt. It's fascinating that it's set up that way. You know, to have it backloaded that way with the division games, to start with the division game and then not play another game in the division for like 2.5 months is crazy. So, again, I said this to you guys last night too. Like, I always think of Ron Wolf, because back in those days when the schedule came out, we got to talk to Ron that night, and we got his initial thoughts, as opposed to, it looked to me like they didn't, unless I missed it on Packers.com because I was having a fever dream, it didn't look like they even talked to LaFleur this year to get his initial reaction. Because usually I cherry pick those quotes because they don't make them available otherwise. And I didn't see anything from him. Like, he's going to be, I can guarantee he's unhappy with the timing of the bye. And I would think that he'll say, well, we got to play all the games. You know, it doesn't really matter. But we all know that the old saying in the NFL about it's not who you play, it's when you play them, really does matter. And to have all those NFC North games compacted into that window, and to only have 2 home games in December, Ron Wolf would have been really unhappy about that. And so it's great. You know, I was among the people that kept saying, oh, God, they haven't opened at home since 2018. Matt LaFleur has never played a Week 1 home game, and he's going into his 7th season as the coach. That's crazy. Well, they gave him a home game in the first week, and then they gave him another home game 5 days later.
Jason, do you buy into conspiracies at all? And Josh, you can cue up the X-Files music if you want to on this one, because this is Josh DiMaggio's conspiracy theory. Josh thinks, I'm going to put it out there for you, and then you tell me.
I don't even know what this is.
Yes, you do. You just haven't put 2 and 2 together yet. Josh DiMaggio has thrown out the idea that Green Bay got a home opener at home, well, the opener for the Week 1 at home, no international and no Christmas game, because Mark Murphy threw it out there into the universe that they should ban the tush push. It's not bad.
Now he's having a fever dream.
It's not bad, though. I was like,
it's a great. It's great. It's great. I don't think it works that way. And again, I personally, and I know this is an unpopular thing to do at ESPN Wisconsin, but I am supporting Ben Brust. And Lord knows I don't normally do that. But my conspiracy theory, which I don't even know if this qualifies, is that they planned on sending the Packers to Dublin. And then the Steelers got involved with Aaron Rodgers. And the Steelers said, look, we'd really like to have that game be the Packers at home. We think that would be a really good game. The TV networks said, hey, we really like the looks of that. We don't want that game to be played, you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning or whatever it would be played stateside. And Ben went from having good intel from his, dare I say, sources to being wrong. And while Ben and I certainly did not see eye to eye on some of his behavior when he came to training camp a couple of years ago, I am team Ben on this, because not only that, but now they have the Vikings playing in Europe in back-to-back weeks, which they've never done before, right? Unless maybe it was the Jaguars when they were playing like half their home schedule. Yeah, but they don't count, right?
Yeah.
And they did it in the same country, didn't
they?
They
did it. Yeah, they did it. Yeah, the same stadium. They just played in wherever they were, Wembley or wherever they were playing in back-to-back games.
Right, and they made sense to do that because, like the Champions League, they're on the verge of being relegated every year anyway. And they were playing like half their home schedule in London at that time. So, I don't have any evidence of this. I do have some people in the league office that I know pretty well that I would like to just say, hey, was there a shift in the thinking on this in terms of how Rodgers was a factor in wanting that game in Pittsburgh? Because I would really like to know that. And again, I usually like to take shots at Ben any chance I get, but I'm on his team on that one. So that conspiracy theory, I believe. The other one, I mean, I don't know, Joshy. It is pretty good. I will give you that. But I don't want to believe that the schedule makers think that way. But to your point on the Christmas game, you know, again, look back on last year. Now, it was Saturday, Wednesday last year, and this year Christmas is on Thursday. So you're able to play Sunday game teams on Christmas, which you could not have done last year. But what they did with Christmas last year was they had two games on Saturday before Christmas involving obviously four teams, and then those four teams then played different opponents from that same pod on Christmas. And they didn't do that this time around.
Jason, Drew Rosenhaus, do we know who he talked to, if it was Goody? Because I texted my old agent, and I'm like, did you ever talk to Ron? And he's like, no. If there was an issue, you talk to Mike Reinfeld, mm-hmm. who was the Russ Ball of my day.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a product? Now, because Ron was insulated. Ron would be like, don't tell me how to run my team. I don't need to tell you your guy's number one, okay? Talk to Reinfeld. Mm-hmm. Is this a product of the three-headed monster, or is this because today's players need positive reinforcement because they're soft?
Jason, before you answer that question, can we just have a moment here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy for Chewy doing some research /
some legwork
background / investigative reporting?
My guy's a grinder.
Etiquette! Etiquette!
The grind!
All right! I called my agent to see, is this normal? Is this SOP? All right, Jason, go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that because I was not sure how to speak after hearing him actually do legwork. Sorry, Chu.
That's okay.
So I heard the clip from Adam on your show, and I want to emphasize this. Adam is so incredibly better at his job than I am. So I don't want this to sound in any way disrespectful to him. At the same time, I was very surprised that someone would take their own report and then say, basically, you know, that the media blew it out of proportion and it's not that big of a deal. Because my theory, and you can play the X-Files music again, is that this did happen. Okay. Now, I personally don't believe that Goody would have ever, or Russ Ball, frankly, would have ever said, don't worry, your guy is still our top receiver. That just doesn't sound like something the Packers would say, even if they're trying to reassure an agent. I think they would say something more to the lines of, hey, we still think the world of Jaden, you know, we think he's a really good player. This pick wasn't because we're unhappy with him, or something along those lines. But this idea that we're going to walk this back, and was too much was made of it. I'm sorry. To me, that sounds like Drew Rosenhaus shared this information with Adam. Adam put it out there, and I don't think, again, this is just my opinion, I don't think Drew Rosenhaus realized that it made his guy look bad. He may have thought it made him look good that he's fighting for his new clients, but I don't know. You guys tell me. Could he have underestimated the negative prism that this would have been seen through? Like, did he? You know, he's done this a really long time. Drew Rosenhaus has made, what, billions upon billions of dollars for his guys over the years? Like, is it possible he just underestimated how this was going to be viewed?
Well, I told him, I said, he doesn't understand how it affects the dynamic of the locker room, okay? And what made it inflammatory is Stinovich saying there's competition at right tackle. To this point, Zach Tom's career is much better than Jaden Reed's. Okay? Mm-hmm. So how is Zach Tom supposed to read into this? Okay? Yep. That's what made it inflammatory, because if I come off my season that I had in my fourth year, and all of a sudden they're saying, I can't think of a player offhand, oh, he's our number one, but we're now going to have competition at tight end with me going into a contract year. I'm pissed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm pissed. I'm calling my agent and saying, what the hell? That's what makes it inflammatory. You know, they just don't. And I love Adam, but the locker room is a living thing, Jason, right?
Yeah. And that obviously took me by surprise. We were talking about it yesterday in between assistant coaches. Like, and he didn't say it once. He said it twice. And then I asked Luke Butkus about it, and the first thing he said was, well, I think if you talk to Zach, he would tell you he didn't have the kind of season he wanted to have. So they're not kidding, and you're right. You know, for a guy going in, look, they've got Sean Ryan. You know, Rob had that really good story about how he missed $2 million of an escalator by two snaps. He's in the last year of his contract. We already talked about Rashid weeks ago when they opened up his job for competition, which, again, this is a very delicate thing to me, because, look, I don't want to sound like this is youth basketball and everyone should play the same amount because we're trying to develop as many varsity players as we can. Like, this is different. This is the NFL. It's a big boy league. So there should be competition. But at the same time, this mentality – And this goes to a much deeper question that we don't have time for today, which is, when you decide to build your team this way, are you baking into the cake these kind of awkward situations? Because there are no established guys who've been on their second contracts for a while, who are clear-cut starters that shouldn't be, they should have to work their asses off, but they shouldn't feel like they're looking over their shoulder. Those are all valid questions here. But the other weird thing before I go was yesterday, both Ryan Mahaffey, the wide receivers coach, and Jason Vrabel, the passing game coordinator and former wide receivers coach, both of whom are in the wide receiver room, were just lathering on the praise of Jaden Reed. What a great leader he's been. He's been standing behind Matthew Golden and helping him every step of the way with their on-field work and all this other, and that's great. And I'm not saying it's not true, but it was almost like there was a market overcorrection of, hey, we know about the backlash against his agent asking about his role, and we want to make sure everybody knows that Jaden, A, has been here, right, which is not the case for some other players, and B, has been a great leader. And I don't think that this is some sort of, like, death knell for Jaden Reed. He's too good of a player to say, oh, he's soft and he wants to know his role and whatever else. But I don't think that it's unreasonable that he wanted to know, hey, what the hell's going on out here? I just think that putting it out into the ether makes anybody with the ability to think critically to say, hey, there are some issues with this team and the guys that they have all competing for second contracts right now.
Yeah, and I think that we're not sitting here saying this is DEFCON, but we're saying, hey, this was something that, given all of the... And that was the other thing, right? Taking nothing away from Adam Schefter and his ability to cover the league really, really well, we thought, like, maybe there was a little bit of, you just don't know all of the details. The Romeo Doubs detail that you mentioned yesterday, Gabe. You know, like you mentioned, the offensive line mm-hmm. detail. Like, there are other things at work here. The Jaden Reed thing didn't exist in a vacuum. And then to try to diminish the mm-hmm. impact of that information, and now for all the people who are saying, whoa, wait, hold on, you know, and you know, like you said, thinking critically about it, I got people jumping in the mentions all the time that are like, this is a nothing burger. You guys are yep. making this into something. And it's like, at some point, can you trust our judgment that, like, covering the team day in and day out, that when there is something like this, we're reacting to it naturally and organically? So I agree.
Thank you.
I don't think it was stated properly, but I also agree that I don't think Rosenhaus and maybe even Adam to a certain degree recognized all of the elements at play with that detail, with that information.
Yeah, the way I put it was, they do not have a towering inferno five alarm fire, but they got a bunch of little brush fires
mm-hmm.
and those still require the fire department to put them out. You don't just let them burn, because then they do become an inferno. They become a wildfire. So Jenkins, Doubs, the Jair situation is still out there, and the Reed situation. Those are all little fires that can be contained, right? But if they're left unattended and you don't call 911 and get Fire Marshal Bill out here, it's going to become an even greater problem. And then taking nothing away from Adam, but our really smart guy on the panel, Mark Chimura, adding in the Zach Tom thing. I don't know how Zach Tom feels about what was just said earlier in the week either. I haven't talked to him. But now there's another little brush fire. That's mm-hmm. five of them that you've got to put out.
Jason, nobody is closer to the team than you. We appreciate you sharing your insight with us so frequently here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm sure what you really appreciate is I didn't oversleep for this segment. All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. All right, we'll take a break, get back to the schedule, because my guys are a little nervous about at least one stretch here for the green and gold. We'll talk about that right after this.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, of course, you know what I'm going to say. Only one place to go. That place is the Jewelry Center. Best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. Among those, obviously, the selection that they have. If you're looking for a lab-grown diamond, naturally mined diamond, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to that engagement ring, they have it. But what I think separates the Jewelry Center, the helpful team and the great team that Dean, the Dancing Machine, has put together. They're always going to point you in the right direction. Whether you kind of have an idea, whether you don't have an idea, maybe go to a Pinterest page, bring that in. They're always going to make sure that you bring that dream diamond to life. Check out the inventory, any one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Shop online at shoptjc.com. And when you head over there, make sure you tell them that Chew and Gabe sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What operating system does a Chewy computer run on?
I believe it's a Cat 14.
It's a COS. It's a Chewy operating system.
I was thinking Windows 98.
Yeah, I mean, very similar.
It's dial-up. Let me get my modem.
Chewy. On 94.5 ESPN.